Bava Basra Peretes Mishnah Gimel. Hiniach Banu Gedolim Ukatanim. If somebody died and he left behind sons who were Gedolim, adults of age, Ukatanim, and some sons who were minors. So he's got a variety of sons. Some of them are grown up, some of them are minors. Hishbichu Gedolim Asanachasim. And the ones who were adults improved the property. So they made improvements to the estate before they split it up between all the Yarshim. So even though there's, let's say, four of them, and each one's going to get a piece of the Yerusha, they improved the entire estate. And they were made by workers hired by the older brothers to do the work on the estate. Hishbichu la'emtza, then the improvements that they have been made for the middle, meaning for the common estate, for everyone. If the improvements were paid for by estate money, so they took some of the money they inherited, hired workers, and then made improvements to the field, then all of the field is improved and everybody gets a share. No special consideration for the brother who took charge and made all the phone calls and hired the contractors, because it was understood that he was doing that for the estate's benefit. If the older brothers, the Gemara says later, did make the improvements from their own cash money or did the labor themselves, then they get to keep the improvements because that was work that they themselves did for their own benefit. Im Amru, now if before they made the improvements, the older brothers made an announcement in a court in Beis Din and they said, Ru'u, ma shenayach lanu abba, see what Father left all of us. Look at the inheritance. Hare anu osim ba'ochlin. We are about to start working and we are going to eat the profits. We are going to benefit for ourselves with the profit. So what they're doing by making this announcement is that if this is tantamount to saying, let's divide the estate now if you want. But if you don't, then we're going to take into our heads to do all this extra work on the estate and make money and we're going to keep the profits. Hishbichu la'atzman. Then they are going to make any improvements and improve the fields and the inheritance for themselves. They're going to keep everything. Even though the court is usually responsible for making sure that young orphans don't lose out on anything and that their interests are protected, if the court was slow dividing the estate and the older brothers put in a whole lot of extra work themselves after making the announcement, let's do it now, guys, or else, then all the profits and everything come to them. Now, what the Mefarshim say is that the Mishnah is only talking about their share of the profits. As, for example, two older brothers and two younger brothers, the two older brothers had a certain share, they would each get one equal share and the Bechor would get an additional share. Their profits that they get to keep are those exact same shares of the profits, according to some. Others say they get to keep the whole thing. The same thing would be true of a wife who improved properties from her late husband. And the Gemara explains that this is a situation where the husband married his niece, his brother's daughter. So she's a wife, but also an heir. When he dies, if they had no children, and if the brother had died without any kind of children, then the daughters, the nieces, are all going to inherit the estate. Obviously, a man can't marry his own daughter. That would have been an easier example. So it's a man marrying his niece. So she, too, is an inheritor along with her sisters. And she decides to make improvements to the fields. Then the improvements that she made are going to be shared in profit in the common estate for everybody. Since they hadn't divided the estate up yet, all the improvements are going to count for them all. Imam Rabbit, if she makes the announcement in Beis Din, Ru'u ma sheneach li baili, see what my husband has left me, meaning, let's look at the estate and divide it up, and they don't yet. Hare ani osava ocheles. I am going to put my own money and improvements into this field, and then I'm going to keep the profits. Hishbicha la'atzma, then what improvements she makes, she has made for herself, despite the fact that the other girls would have had a share, but hey, they didn't get around to dividing things in advance. The Gemara also does get into the issue of what happens if she's being supported by the estate because of her ksuba, since she's not just a niece but also a wife. Then other questions come into play because the woman's ksuba comes at the expense of the heirs. She's also an heir, so how is that all going to play out? Learn the Gemara and Ksubas, and you can find out. Mishnah Dalet. The brothers haven't divided the estate yet. They are considered, therefore, shutfim, partners in the estate. So if there's any kind of benefit, they share equally, except in the Mishnah we saw before. If there's any kind of liability, they share equally in that. So if you have brothers who have not divided the inheritance yet, and so they are shutfin, they are legal partners in the estate now, and they're all taking basic support from the estate. And one of them happened to fall into a profession. You don't generally fall into a profession, but in this case, the Gemara suggests that he was appointed a tax collector, and that position is usually rotated to different families, he's going to be a tax collector this month. Nafal la'emsa. Then the profits from the position are shared by all the brothers. Since the position of tax collector came as a representative of his family, it's considered a family benefit. It's not his own credentials. If the guy had gone to law school and become a lawyer and been appointed to the Supreme Court, that would be different because that would be his merit. But in this case, it's something that comes because of the family. That's why they give the tax collector example. As a result, the profit goes to everybody. Problem, of course, with tax collecting profit is that that is a little dangerous and considered geneva by many of the sages in the Gemara. So you better be very careful while you do it on the up and up. Cholav and Esrape. Let's say he became sick because of his own negligence. He was overexposed to heat, cold, and he has medical bills. Vinisrape, and he gets healed. He goes to the hospital. Nisrape Mishal Atzmo. He has to pay his medical bills from himself, not from the estate. And there's a discussion in the Gemara whether it's a fixed medical fee or open-ended expenses. So is that called basic support? Or if it's a fixed fee, is it just something that he pays as a one-time fee for himself? So if it's his own fault that he got sick, hey, the estate doesn't have to pay for that. So it's, the estate is kind of like an insurance company in this kind of situation. They're going to investigate how sick and why he got sick. Next case. In the days of the Gemara, friends of the groom would bring gifts to the wedding in Sheva Brachos of food and celebrate feasts together with the groom. What they called shushvinus was this groomsmen's gifts. And the groom, when his friends get married, has to do the same thing that they did for him. So it's a gift, but it's not just a gift. It's kind of a requirement. So some of these brothers gave groomsmen's gifts while their father was alive. So the father sent one of the sons with gifts to a groom. He wasn't specifying on behalf of which son he was sending it. And so the son brings these gifts, and they go to Vegas, and it's the hangover. Chazra Shushvinus, and then when the groomsmen's gifts are returned, when this kid gets married, Chazra La'emsa, then the gifts go to the common estate of everybody, even though it's his wedding gifts. But since the original gift that he sent came from the father, the gift that comes back goes to the father, and since the father left an estate that's shared by everybody, so everybody is going to share in this gift. Shashushvinus nigbeis zvezdin. Because the fact is that groom's gifts are collectible in Bezdin. It's not just a nice thing where you and your buddies always share Sheva Brachos expenses. This is a situation where it's actually a legal gift. It's considered to have been a loan. When I give my gift, that's a loan to you. When you give me your gift, that's repaying a loan. It's considered a debt. Since it's a debt, there's a lien. Since there's a lien, it becomes part of the estate. We do not do this anymore. So if you throw Sheva Brachos for anybody, you're on your own, buddy. But if one sends to another jars of wine or oil, not at the time of the wedding, but later, or at the time of the wedding, but the person sending them didn't go to the wedding. So then, ein nigbin bevezdin. These can't be collected reciprocally in Bezdin. Because this was just a nice thing to do. This was just an act of kindness, a favor. They're not called shushvinos. They're not called groom's gifts because it wasn't done the traditional way that's always done. I send you the gift, I show up, I partake, you send me the gift in return. Here, I sent the wedding present and I decided not to come. I was on the C list or I couldn't make it that night or, you know, I had a yeshiva dinner and so I didn't go. As a result, that's called a pure matana. It's pure chesed and there's no reciprocal requirement to make you pay me back in exchange.